Hi, I'm Dusty Ray Bottoms, and you're listening to Yes, Jesus.
Hello, kings and queens and in-between, sinners, saints, and I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another influential episode of Yes, Jesus. Yes, girl, we're trending. I'm Daniel Francesi, and as always, I'm here with my bestie who's right on brand.
Oh, well, hello there. It's Azariah Southworth.
Oh, hello, Azariah. Listen, sit down in the pew-pew-pews and just relax yourself. Because here at Yes, Jesus, we believe...
You are a living testimony to God's fabulousness.
Yes, I live and you live for your truth. And the truth will set you free and other people around you free. That's right, living the truth. Listen, just live in your truth. Because here at Yes, Jesus, just let your hair down and listen to a little bit of... Okay, talk about letting you know you're gonna get your panties in a bunch, Azzy.
You know it, and I like it. This comes to us from The Advocate. And you listeners should know by now, Florida has passed their Don't Say Gay law.
Boo.
Mm-hmm. This law prohibits teaching material that is inherently racist, sexist, and oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. It allows anyone to file complaints against school books in classrooms and libraries. Because of the law, 200 books have been banned in Florida. And they are mostly LGBTQ books and books about people of color.
Ugh, I just want to hear like the sound cue of a pie hitting Anita Bryant in the face right now, just over and over.
That's exactly where they want to take us back to. So, you know what activist Chaz Stevens did?
What did he do?
He filed a complaint.
He filed a complaint? What did he file a complaint about?
Oh, honey. He filed a complaint against the book that has the most pornography, what? Sexist, racist language in it. And it's known as the Bible.
What?
That's right. The Bible. Slaves, obey your master. We're tearing that page out. No, we don't need her.
That's right. Listen to what Chaz wrote in his complaint. With the constant concerns about teaching of critical race theory, should we not take stock of the Bible's position on slavery? I am concerned for our young white students will read such passages and wake up to a civilization's sordid past. How clever is that? This is from The Advocate. It's so a political activist files a complaint in Florida over the Bible being too woke. I mean, that's a great political statement, I think. I think, you know... Parents, I guess you can monitor some things, I guess, age-appropriate things in libraries and whatever, but like to censor, to pull things, to try to steer history, I think is just not doing humanity a service. So boo to that. And now it's time for the praise report and prayer request portion of our show. This is where if you have a little something that has just been heavy on your heart this week and you want some extra prayer, you're like, please, I need my community. I need you guys at Yes, Jesus and your listeners to gather around and pray for me. Then you'll submit it to our prayer request and we'll read it on the show and everyone will be praying for you. And then if you have a little something extra that you want to praise God about, like you're like, oh, I just can't contain this joy. This joy is so big. I need to share it and shout it from the mountaintops. Well, that's the point of the praise report. So we will also... be hallelujahing along with you on that one. So we're going to start this one right now with a prayer request. This one comes to us from Barnabas. In the news cycle of Christians suing for all sorts of things, I wanted to uplift St. Timothy's Episcopal Church and the Episcopal Diocese of Oregon, who are in a legal dispute with the city of Brookings, who is still trying to limit their days of serving meals to the poor. He has even attached an article. So you get two segments of gay Christian news. But make sure to check out the show notes to find out the art. But they're restricting. So the Oregon Parish Diocese is suing the city for restricting feeding the poor. That's just, I mean, that is definitely something to pray for. You know, the true sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was having extra and having abundance and not sharing it. And not giving out, and especially in communities, we know that they're having tough times, and like they are here in California, in places like Oregon, where people do need more help. So we will be praying that legal dispute helps the city of Brookings realized that they need to try to be able to serve meals to the poor when they are needed, not when it's convenient. So we share that prayer for you. But we have a praise report too, Azzy. We have something to uplift. We have a little bit of joy, a little shofar of hallelujah. What is it?
Praise report comes to us from Sarah. I just wanted to send a little message to say thank you and bless you for this podcast. I've just started listening and it is doing my queer Christian heart so much good listening to other queer Christians. Keep fighting the good fights. Ah, Sarah.
Oh, we like that. I love that. That puts a little gas in our tank. Thank you so much, everyone who does write in and tell us how much you do like this podcast. We love doing this. It is a labor of love for us. There's plenty of ways that you can support, even just sharing us with a friend. So please make sure to check out our website for ways that you can support and keep us going. We're going to be right back after this with, I know, not even just mine, but Azzy's obvious favorite portion of the day, the scripture of the day. So we'll be right back after this with that.
Hey, Yes Jesuits, if you love listening to the podcast as much as we love making it, we'd like to ask you to support the show however you can.
We have launched a Buy Me a Coffee page where you can make a one-time contribution to keep the show running. And if you really, really, really love us, please consider becoming a monthly sponsor.
Links to Buy Me a Coffee and becoming a monthly sponsor are in our show notes and on our website, yesjesuspod.com.
If you can't donate right now, please, please consider leaving us a review on Apple and Spotify podcasts, following us on social media, and sharing us with a friend. All of these things help us to bring you new episodes.
So, to all the zaddies and mama bears and everyone out there who already subscribes and support us, thank you so much. We seriously could not do this without you.
And now, without further ado, on to the show. And we're back, and it's time for the scripture of the day. Scripture of the day. Tell us all about it.
Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
As you know, when people tweet stuff and they say, I don't know who needs to hear this, but hair gel is not about whatever it is, right? Like, I don't know who needs to hear. I need to hear this. I feel renewed with a new heart right now. I feel like I have a new spirit put upon me. I have had a heart of stone for so many years that now I feel like is beating again. And I attribute it partially to this podcast, but also partially to the friends like you and other friends of ours that we have around us. We have good people in our circle. And I'm just so grateful for community that we've fostered. I'm grateful for time I've got to spend with my family. And I think a lot of that stuff, sometimes you need a reset. You need a cultural reset. You need a life reset. And I think that during this time of the pandemic, lots of people were forced even into some of those things, you know.
And don't let your heart of stone not allow you to have that reset that we all are, you know, that we all need.
It weighs you down. And sometimes it's financial things that are weighing you down. Sometimes it's health things. Sometimes it's things that are out of our control. But other times it's things like resentment and forgiveness that we're not giving somebody, or mercy that we're not giving someone, that just doesn't, that allows us to hold on and harbor all of this animosity and bad feelings. You know, my grandma said to me one time that if you hate somebody or if you don't forgive somebody, what you're doing is you're putting them in a prison. And they're in a prison that they don't know that they're in. And really what happens is you spend your life guarding that prison, and it's your life that's wasted guarding a prison that the other person doesn't even know that they're in. So free yourself from that. Let yourself go. You could change. Things could change. Everything doesn't have to be so heavy. We are not living in the past. We are not living in the future. We are in a present moment, you know, and often we're neglecting to realize that that moment is really what exists, that what we're breathing in. We ran across this tweet from Matt Vakakis, which speaks to our heart. Matt's tweet said, 10 years ago, my dad left highlighted Bible passages on the kitchen table for me to find regarding abomination, hellfire, you shall not lie with a man, etc. And today, he drove my partner to work early this morning because it was raining and he didn't want to get him wet. So I think that is so sweet. We don't know you, Matt, but we love this for you. I think that just speaks volumes about how time can heal wounds and time can change things.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can forget how much we can change the hearts and minds of people around us. And it doesn't always seem like it at first, especially when we are in the messiness of coming out or them working through their feelings, old religious condemnation seeping through. Honey, truly. But in so many places, we are the ones who help people become more welcoming and accepting.
As we are powerful. We're influential as beings, as God children. Sometimes just living our truth is a light and a teaching tool for other people. Just living who you, just being who you are, merely existing sometimes is so powerful.
Yeah. God said in Genesis, I think it was, to take dominion over the earth. He called you to be a dom, honey. So, yes, it can be easy to focus on the people who rejected us or those we fight with, but we have changed hearts and minds.
Yeah. I used to get upset when people would copy things that I did, like, you know, like, or like wear an exact outfit I wore or copy like a photograph that I shot or whatever. But then I realized that, you know, some of the things that we're trying to do is be influential. Like, if you're going to influence online, are you going to be and doing that kind of thing, then you're going to influence people. And then I started thinking about, like, well, I don't really care what hat someone's wearing or what shirts they're wearing. What are the kind of things that I want to do that do influence people? And that's when I started showing more of my political side and maybe being a little bit more vocal about certain things that I felt in my stories and things like that, because I feel like if someone's going to wear my hat, they might borrow my thought. And so sometimes you have to be, you know, conscious of what you are putting out there.
Yeah. I think the first time I ever became aware of, like, oh, what I'm doing is impacting or influencing people was a long time ago. It was when I was on tour with Ray Bolts, and we had a show in Kansas City, and someone who I think they were a teenager came up to me and they were just crying just after our show there and just saying what an impact it had on them because they were still in the process of coming out. And, you know, and this was back in 2010. So, yeah, it's an interesting feeling and a sense of responsibility that you realize that you have to be, because you got to be responsible with that as well.
I remember being at a party and this guy, it was right around the time of marriage equality, and this guy speaking about how he didn't believe in marriage equality to me and my then boyfriend. And we were like, so we were explaining to him how, well, what if one of us got sick and the other one wasn't a legit family member, you know, on paperwork, like he wouldn't be able to visit. The family could have rights to all of his things. This happens to couples all the time, that they get left with nothing, you know. And when he saw that perspective and he saw us and he met us, he was like, you know, I kind of understand what you're talking about now. I think he thought of it more as like, he was like, why bother getting married if it's going to piss all these other people off? We're like, well, because we need rights for ourselves as well. Today, we want to tell a few stories of some hearts and minds who were changed because of our witness and our testimony.
And our freaking deacon, Ross Murray, has his very own story.
So when I was in college, the Lutheran Church still had a ban on gay clergy, gay deacons. And I was really interested in ministry, but I was pretty upfront that I was not going to be a pastor. And I had this advisor who was a pastor who kept bugging me and saying, I think you have gifts for ministry. I think you'd be really good at it. I think you should go for ministry. And I finally just said, well, you know that I can't do this because I'm gay. And he was a conservative-leaning guy, probably supported the policy, the ban in place. And he told me later that me telling him about me being gay and saying, well, I can't do it because there's a ban, made him think, well, maybe this ban isn't a good thing because it's keeping someone that I really think could be a good pastor away from doing it, and was able to do that shift for him. I thought that was a real cool moment.
That made him understand the reality of the ban and the reality of the situation and what can we do in this present moment.
That's how visibility matters so much. Like being vocal, you know, a squeaky wheel gets the grease. Like you have to speak up and shout out. You have to show up and show off. Part of doing some of the things, especially when it's a calling to God, sometimes it is so inconvenient. Sometimes it's something that feels like a square peg in a round hole, and you have to figure out a way to sort of make it work. But when it's God's plan, it just happens. And I think that that is something that you just have to know. You get the words come from God. The actions and thoughts come from God. And it's that discernment that we get when we take that leap. It's so great.
Yeah. Well, this comes to us from Jonathan. He has a great story about addressing bullying in his school by coming out himself. Take a listen.
Hey, Johnny Vriesma here. I am a K-6 physical education teacher in the Worcester Public School District here in central Massachusetts. And last week, Thursday, was probably one of the best, if not the best day of my teaching career in 7 years. Our cafeteria has just been riddled with a lot of homophobic language, primarily calling kids gay and using some slurs as well. And I have never been in there to actually experience it. However, I have had multiple teachers on occasion come and say, hey, this has been happening. And so I decided finally that a lot of my colleagues and I have finally decided this is enough. We've had it. This cannot continue to happen. And we don't want to promote that type of behavior. And we want to really cut it out at a young age. And so I finally said, you know what? Enough's enough. It's about to go down. Meet me in the fifth grade classroom. So the entire fourth and fifth grade classes met me in the fifth grade classrooms in a matter of about 2 to 3 minutes. And so I quickly gathered myself and was just like, all right, you know what? I'm going to speak from my heart. So I gathered everyone in and met them there. And this was really the opportunity for me to speak just a piece of my testimony to these students. So in my 7 years of teaching, I've never had such captivated attention before. 10 minutes of speaking about the power of your words and how they can either lift someone up or break someone down. You can either make their day or just completely ruin it. And I decided, as more administrators and more people decided to come in, that this is my chance to share a piece of my story. And so I had the opportunity to come out to my students and I took it. Something I really appreciate about my administration is when it comes to the topic of sexuality, if there is a chance to teach or a chance to enlighten or open someone's mind or to take someone and make them an ally, I have full authority to do so. So I came out to my students in the middle of my spiel, my speech on the impact of how your words can be. And so I said, direct quote, do you realize when you use the phrase "that's so gay" to put someone down, that you're actually hurting more than just them? You're hurting me too. I identify as a gay man. And those words really cut deep. Absolute stunned silence. They just kind of looked, and you could hear a couple, whoa, just like, what did he just say? Like, and so I let it kind of just sit in silence for about 10 seconds before I continued. And as that finished up, you could just see the looks on some of those kids' faces like, oh my gosh, like he just told us an intimate detail. But now what I appreciated is these students now have a role model. And it's been almost a week, and immediately there's been a change in that school. And something that I take away from that is the power of the words that I had, the impact. I actually had a student come up to me and say, and give me a note, and I didn't read it immediately. She walked away, and about 30 seconds later, I opened up and just tears pouring down my face. The note said, I fully support you and your sexuality, and it's not going to change. The fact that you're our PE teacher and the fact of who you are, it's just absolutely indescribable. And I thank you for that. And I support who you are as an individual. And so immediately tears pouring down my face and having students understand the power that the words that they use and the words that they have and how they use them, clearly the message was received very well. I had other students come up to me and start sharing that they know what this word means now and they're not going to use it in a negative context. And so clearly the message was received very well. And there was a lot of dialogue after I left, and more follow-up questions and notes or emails were sent home to parents on what was discussed, and there's been just a flood of support. So as I reflect on my drive home there, I started to think about the Don't Say Gay bill and that I didn't impose my own beliefs on my students, but rather my students were able to understand that this specifically is not a choice. And having that open, honest conversation, even at a fourth, fifth grade level, offers inclusion for all and allows everyone to have a voice at the table here. So the takeaway message that they all took was, when we support each other, no matter what a student believes or how they identify, we all are able to win. And students begin to really understand the journey of someone different than themselves.
Wow, that was so powerful. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for sharing that with us. Like, what an incredible story of just someone who stood up for themselves and got instant redemption and instant acceptance and change from being themselves.
Yeah, what it reminds me of is like what Howard Thurman says in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, and I've said it many times on the show before, and I'm paraphrasing, but in the book he says, contact without genuine fellowship breeds hatred. And so what Jonathan really did is he took a moment of genuine fellowship with his fourth and fifth graders and allowed himself to be vulnerable. And with that, the misperceptions that we hold about the other through genuine fellowship fall to the side, you know, and we can't help but see another human being that we can empathize with and relate to. And I mean, it was what a powerful testimony of how we can take moments to influence people through something like genuine fellowship, like Jonathan really did.
So wonderful. Just, I love these stories. We got another story too, Ezzy. We got a story from Jesse. Jesse says, basically, I was terrified to come out to my dad. He's old school Mexican, was incredibly homophobic growing up, always made comments. His perspective even trickled down to my baby sister, who would parrot some harsh comments when she was like really little, like 7. I finally decided to bite the bullet and tell him. I was in full tears and super afraid, but then my dad told me in Spanish, so here's a rough translation. Mija, your cousin is maricón, and I still love him. What would make you think I wouldn't love you? I love you so much, no matter what. So, yeah, that's how my dad both accepted me and low-key verbally hate crime my cousin in the same sentence. We have to take baby miracles and baby steps, you know? As it's little by little, we chip away at that stone. But, you know, don't forget the miracles. You know, there was a quote from, and I bring it up, I think I've brought it up on the show before, but there's a quote from Queer as Folk. The mom on the show, Sharon Gless, has a quote where she says, mourn the losses, for there are many, but celebrate the victories, for there are few. As a queer person. So I see, you know, it's a mixed message there, wrapped up in some toxic masculinity, but at least it's a present that you needed. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Here's another story that was sent to us by the musician and artist named Mel Lennon. Side note, check out his music. His story is completely different, but it shows the same thing. So Mel Lennon shared with us that there was this guy, big guy, who was hanging out with his friends, and he went over to their place, and there were about 5 of them. And he's pretty sure the guy wanted to hook up with one of the girls there. Well, Mel played a video that he had recorded. And in the video, Mel made out with another boy. And the guy said that he liked the song, but said this would be great if, you know, it didn't have the guys kissing. Just so more people could watch it, you know, make it more palatable. There was no attacking, just politeness passed throughout the night. Well, Mel didn't even try to change his mind, but at the end of the night, he completely apologized. He said he was sorry that, but he was still wondering why he thought he shouldn't change his mind, and told him straight people kiss on TV all the time, cartoons even, and he got it. And Mel doesn't think he even thought he was homophobic, but there they were. And it was more of a teachable moment than anything else. And that always sticks out when Mel gets asked about changing hearts and minds. So that's a good example as well. That reminds me of when I worked in a restaurant as a server back home in Indiana. And I heard someone say some like a homophobic comment at their table of eight with their friends, right?
Yeah, you hear it.
And their little homosexual server, you know, just wasn't having it that night. And so I called it out. I was like, that's not, that's not an appropriate thing to do. Well,
did they say a slur? What was it?
Yeah, I don't honestly, this was 10 plus years ago. And I just remember that it was a slur. It was not appropriate. And I felt offended as I'm refilling their water. And in a very conservative Catholic area of Fort Wayne, I was like, this is a moment to be seen and to speak up against this. So I did. And the guy apologized and, you know, was very apologetic. So I relate to this story here that Mel Lennon shares with us. You know?
I had a similar experience in a restaurant in Palatka, Florida, which, you know, North Florida is much more southern than South Florida. And I grew up in South Florida, so I didn't really realize that when I was going to college up there near Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Gainesville area. And there was a store, a department store called Gafers. That was like a department store that was around that area. And I remember three of us were sitting down eating dinner. To my knowledge, two of us ended up gay and one ended up straight. But it was, but the straight guy was wearing a pink sweater. I'll never forget it. Someone walked up to us at the table, I guess as a dare from the other cowboys that were at the table with him, and said, "Hey, you boys, do you shop at Gafers?" Like, and my heart kind of stopped a little bit. I was like, is this guy going to fight us? And my friend, the straight guy wearing the pink sweater, said, "Yeah, we do." And he got up and he got like all real mad. And the guy goes like, "Hey, I'm just playing with you. Y'all are cool. Y'all are cool." You know, and just kind of like try to diffuse it or whatever. But, you know, I was like, oh, man, is this going to turn ugly at one point? So it is kind of weird when people say those little things and you can like pick up on them and hear them, you know.
So let's put this in a little perspective. Trying to do this on your own can be overwhelming and difficult. And it probably wasn't you alone, just not little you, that changed someone's heart. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's up to the Holy Spirit and God and that person to change, to make that change and shift. But you could be the catalyst that helps set some things in motion.
What do you mean by a catalyst, you might ask? Well, if you remember your high school chemistry class, you remember that a catalyst is something that makes a chemical reaction happen or go faster.
And today, Yes Jesus is all in for the science nerds. Yes.
Yes, science nerds, we love you. Keep catalyzing.
Our hypothesis is. Anyway, if God is using you as a catalyst, it might mean that your coming out is the thing that starts to make other people examine what they've been taught all those years.
Yeah, you know, be an example of love. People hold a lot of stereotypes about queer folks, and those stereotypes are gross and false. Stuff like queer people are dangerous, or queer people only care about themselves, or queer people are anti-Christian. But that's not entirely true.
Silly person. If that's all they hear, then that's what they're going to believe.
Silly person. And then you come along, silly person, someone who's kind and sweet and caring and hardworking and faithful and an example of love. And you, just by being your authentic self, yes, you show them that their stereotypes aren't really true. And then they start to question what they've been told.
Yeah. And this is not going to always be easy, honey. And no, we don't want to make it sound like it's going to be.
We're not going to sugarcoat it.
No.
As my mom says, I can't sugarcoat cocky.
It's hard work plowing this ground over here, okay? And in all the stories you heard today, there was fear and struggle in each one of them. And it took a while to turn those hearts and minds, sometimes years.
But if we don't speak up about ourselves, honestly, if we don't speak up about our lives, how will people know anything? Anything other than the stereotypes that they have heard. So it's not always easy because why? It's a holy work. It's a calling.
Mm-hmm. It's also important to be yourself. Maybe you do live in, you know, maybe you hold few stereotypes.
I mean, does a bear dance with bears in the woods?
Are you a gay man that walks really fast? Do you power walk your way?
Do you sit on chairs weird?
Exactly.
Do you prefer iced coffee no matter what the temperature?
Exactly. Maybe we have some of those stereotypes. You know, maybe you walk, power walk your way into people's lives to show them how gorgeous God made you. That's unrelatable.
Maybe you're someone who likes to bump and grind up in the club. I like that Maya lyric. You're calling me a hoe because I'm trying to get my freak on. But bitch, we're in a club. What the hell do you expect? Don't be afraid to talk about loving the nightlife. The DJ could save your life on the dance floor. Guess what? Straight people love the nightlife too. Okay? That's why they're all at our gay bars screaming.
What's important is that they see the nuances of who you are and how you are living in God's world. While we are a representative for the LGBTQ community, we can't possibly embody the whole big range of diversity. Trust me, I tried, honey. It's not deep.
So you can also let the folks know when you've met one queer person, you've met one singular queer person. There's so many more of us to get to know.
Mm-hmm. There was one headline from The Onion. Do you like The Onion? I know you do. It's a great parody site.
Remember parody? Don't take life too seriously.
This headline said, "Man supports gay rights after reading 300 pages of queer theory." Even though that's parody, it's true. No one becomes an ally because they studied their way into it. They need someone, a catalyst like you, to even spark their interest and learn more about this community.
It's sort of funny how similar spreading the word about Jesus is to representing yourself and the queer community.
You are a living testimony to God's beauty and creation when you live your life to the fullest and share yourself, even with people who might not be so accepting.
You are a witness to God's love and faithfulness when you show people who you are, what you believe and what you struggle with and where you find joy in this life. It's by hearing all those things that people learn more about God's beautiful creation, you in all of your queerness.
It's not easy. It's not easy, and it's not quick, but it is holy and important. And someday, maybe your dad will drive your partner to work so that he doesn't have to get wet, just like our new friend Matt.
Yes. Now go out there and spread your queer love of Jesus
all over.
For your tithe, love offering, charity, act of good this week, we ask of you.
It is time to share your life and your story with someone who needs just a little nudge. We aren't telling you to find the biggest homophobe in your life. Maybe someone who is a little more movable. Someone who has been really nice, but you don't think they get it. They love Hamburger Mary's, but they just don't know about gay rights. Call them up. Set them up for a time for coffee. Take them out to coffee, as a similar song says. And talk about your life and your faith, you know, in an organic, authentic way. And show them the full beauty of who you are.
That's all you have to do. You don't have to convert them on the spot. That probably won't happen anyway. You just have to honestly share yourself with them. And now we'd like to thank you all for sharing this day with us as we close in prayer. Please bow your heads unless you're driving, because Jesus can't take the wheel. Father God, we want to be just so thankful for everyone here listening to Yash Jesus. We want to pray that you do something special, a great work in each and every one of their hearts this week, so they feel your presence. And we want to thank and just be prayerful for everyone who is living their authentic selves. We know, Lord, how hard it is sometimes just to be ourselves. But let us be a witness, a queer testimony to your undying and creative love. Give each of us, Lord, the strength and the armor to be ourselves, to continue to open up our hearts to the fullest and our minds to the widest, to the LGBTQ community, and figure out ways to be a representative for our communities. Speaking of which, we pray for the LGBTQ community in Florida, my hometown, and so many other states around the country where living has been getting harder and harder, and around the world. God, we want to soften the hearts of the lawmakers so they could stop persecuting LGBTQ people. Soften the heart of Jim Baker so he can listen to his wives, actually, and learn to love the queer people and the allies in his life.
And we are praying with Barnabas for St. Timothy Episcopal Church. They are following your calling to serve the poor and running into resistance. So open the doors, the windows, anything and everything. Give them strength, courage, and clarity to continue to serve your people. And we give thanks and praise with Sarah for finding this queer community. Help her feel the love all around her.
Yes, God, please. We are giving Sarah a big hug. And we want to also lift up Jonathan. We want to thank Jonathan, the teacher who shared his truth with his fourth and fifth grade students and stopped a culture of bullying and homophobic behavior that was beginning to happen by letting others know to be more open because of his witness of his own life. Thank you so much, God, for this communion and this time to all be together. And for a day where our whole staff's been in the same room recording this episode for the first time since we've started Yes, Jesus. We thank you for more beautiful firsts and heart-opening firsts that we have in the future. And most especially, we thank you for today. Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Yas Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yas Jesus Pod or on our website at YasJesusPod.com. If you like the show, please, 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 we beg of you, consider becoming a monthly sponsor. Buy us a cup of coffee or something. You can find a link to do so in the show notes. And if you haven't yet, please leave us a review, share us with a friend, pick up some of our merch. Doing so helps us reach new people and keep this show running.
You can now leave an audio prayer request or a praise report on our website, YasJesusPod.com. Maybe you can even pick up this cute little coffee mug there. We would love to share your voice and your prayers on the show. So drop us a line or send us a recording on YasJesusPod.com.
Yeah, as soon as your praise reports, your prayer requests, your episode ideas, guest ideas, or even just that you are the catalyst in my life for change, we'd love to hear from you. Yash Jesus is hosted by me, Danny Francesi, and
Azariah Southworth. Music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Heckman. Our show is produced by the Freakin' Deacon, Ross Murray, and Meredith Pauly. Special thanks to Sophie Serrano and Sam Ispin.
Yas Jesus is brought to you by Oddity Oddity Exes, Orion Lochner, Jessica Mysterios, and Steve Michaels. And we are streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you ever forget, God loves you just as you are.
That's right. So keep praising the Lord, y'all. See you next time.